Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
It's Friday. Let's go. The weekend just about here. Sun's out. Springtime's on its way.
65 degrees next week?
It looks that way, Waddle.
Oh, yeah.
It looks that way. Will all the snow be gone so people can golf?
The snow will be gone. I think some of the conditions may be a little bit soupy.
Yeah.
But, listen, there'll be people out playing next week, no question.
Yeah.
And there will be courses open because people want that revenue.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a great way to distance as well. All of it. So we got an action-packed show. Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. Not often, Waddle, do you come in and do you say, wow, the thing that I am juiced up about most in sports is that hockey game last night.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. It was fun to watch. Hawks dominated the second period. I missed most of the first period as I had dinner with the family. Second period was all Blackhawks. Third period, unfortunately, was all Lightning. And then the overtime, I've never seen a game end with that amount of time left on the clock, which was nothing. But that was some good old-fashioned lay on your couch and watch sports fun last night.
It really was. I mean, it was
entertained.
It's disappointing that they blew a 2-0 lead. I mean, it's good they got a point against a really good team, but they were up 2-0. And DeBrincat, and we have highlights to play. I thought DeBrincat was going to win it, and I think DeBrincat thought that he won it too.
Yeah,
with a shot off the post, and then they hit the crossbar. But I don't know if
they could play an entire 20 minutes of 3-on-3 hockey?
I'd like to see it.
Would you get tired of it?
No, I wouldn't get tired of it.
Okay.
I enjoy 3-on-3 hockey.
I do, too. I think it's fantastic. You know how I feel about the point system, but the 3-on-3 is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know if a hockey game has ever ended with 0.1 left.
I'm sure, I'm sure something similar has happened but that's the first time I've ever seen a game end like that.
It's sort of like that run back where, you know, like Hester had one, and they say that's the longest return in football history.
What was it?
You can only Nathan Vasher had one too. You can only do 109 yards.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like you can't have a game end any closer to the buzzer than last night.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it was again, it's for a game that's occurring in the first week of March. That was an edge of your seat, fun hockey game to watch.
Yeah.
Again, it's like watching Tenet for me. I don't know what the F I'm seeing sometimes, but
I'm
enjoying enough.
Hockey.
I do. Like, I enjoy enough of it. That's how I spent my night last night. I had dinner with the family and then watched the last two periods of the game and was thrilled with what I saw.
One of our listeners wanted to know if you did indeed wet yourself.
I did because not. Of,
at the end, you didn't?
No,
you didn't
did
pee
not.
A little
no,
bit in your no.
No
shorts? No.
No.
I outwardly yelled. I mean, and that doesn't usually happen at a hockey game like that in the regular season.
Listen, I'll say
with
this.
The kids asleep.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I don't think I've seen anything so far this year. Like, I saw the Kane spinorama goal. I thought Kaner's assist on the fluffy pass from over the net and softly landed it right on the ice. I don't know if it was DeBrincat or it was Suter, whoever it was, and then netted it. This was like 3 weeks ago. That to me is the, like, if I'm going to wet myself, you really have to do something like that. That's the most impressive thing I've seen from the Hawks all year. That assist from
Kane. You can wet yourself for many different reasons. You can wet yourself because you're excited.
Yeah.
You can wet yourself because you're scared.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like that's scary at the end there. Well, 0.1 seconds.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to wet myself based on the tension in a hockey game in March. I'm just not. But
just out of excitement.
If you take a puck and do something with it and do something with it that really isn't possible, I mean, physics, whatever the law you're using to see, is that possible? Can somebody do that with that? Like, that seemed to me to defy any type of logical explanation for it.
Yeah, let's play you this from last night. And Pat Boyle's going to join us later in the show at 5 to talk about Seabrook and to talk about the game. And they play again tonight. Remember, they're playing 3 games in 4 nights against the same Tampa team at home. 312-332-3776. If you want to react to last night's game, if you want to talk about Seabrook retiring, I have a topic about that. A couple topics, actually, about something that all the shows have discussed about his number. And then about underappreciated sports athletes in this town. But listen to last night on NBC with Eddie Olczyk and Pat Foley.
Kane holds it. Now shot it. He scores! Patrick Kane, there's 4-0-1. Commotion in front. Great screen from Suter. And the Hawks have doubled the lead. Sure, Kane happy to be out there without Hedman on the ice in this sequence. Kane goes across. Here comes a break it right in. Off the goalpost. Oh, a great setup for the Cat. And he drew iron. Coleman looking to pull to the front of the net. Put it up high. Langenham didn't know where it is. Good play, Boquist. Now held in Hedman. Hedman with 3. Hedman shoots it. He scores! It looks like a good goal. Did the red light come on before the green? I think so. And Victor Hedman in the final second may have just won it for the Lightning.
When do you ever hear that? The goal followed by the horn in hockey. That's a basketball thing. That's not a hockey thing.
Yeah. That was a great call by Pat as well.
It was
amazing. I mean, just the how that puck cleared the line with, like, there was just a tick left. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. By the way, it was DeBrincat's goal, wasn't it?
So DeBrincat ended up getting credit with a one that he thought was 4-0-1 for Kane. Kane got the assist on that goal.
It looked like the Lightning came to Chicago and thought, oh, these Blackhawks, pesky little Blackhawks. And they got caught with their skates untied in the second period.
So what are
and
you then, saying?
And
are
then
you,
in
are
the
you
third
saying
period,
you would play Tampa today?
Oh, well, everything's got a gambling edge to it, right? No, what I'm saying is it felt like the Lightning came in and kind of thought, like, didn't the Lightning kick their teeth in the first couple games of the season? Lightning come in and say, ah, pesky little Blackhawks team, and then the Blackhawks put 2 in, including a shorty, and then they woke up in the third period, and then they started to look like the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, that early third period.
But it was fun as hell to watch.
It was fun, and we'll be in front of our television today. I want to play you something, okay? I wasn't going to play this at first. I was talking to the guys on Cap and Jay Hood today, and I wasn't going to do it because I don't want to start going into the weekend another feud.
Oh,
with
yes,
Cap.
You do. Yeah.
No, oh, no. Here we go. All right. Yeah. Here it is. You and Cap. So,
but I.
Sir,
I,
are you okay?
Sir, are you okay?
I want to play you this just to sort of lead me into my point. This is not to rip Cap. This is not to rip Cap. This is when the news broke today that Brent Seabrook was retiring. And I just want you to hear the reaction to somebody who's had Hawk season tickets. Again, this is not to rip because I believe there are several people who feel this way. And I've always been, you know me, I'm no like hockey super fan, but I've always had a place in my heart for Brent Seabrook. I've always argued about getting the number 7 retired, not just for Chelly, but for Seabrook. So this is when the news came down about Seabrook, and listen to Cap and Jay Hood.
This is breaking news.
Whoa.
Sponsored by the Points Bet Sports.
Just a moment.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Hang on.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here.
Come on Danny.
Cap'n Jay Hood.
Gentlemen.
Make it big.
From the Chicago Blackhawks official Twitter account. Brent Seabrook says he is unable to play and announces the end of his 15-year career due to injury. Brent Seabrook is retiring.
We turn to Jeff Meller with the fantasy ramifications of Brent Seabrook retiring from the NHL.
You can officially release Brent Seabrook from your fantasy hockey roster.
All right, thank you. Cap, there you have one of the keys to the Blackhawks and their run to the championship. There it is, Brent Seabrook stepping away.
Great. So let's get back to talking about movies.
Oh, that's a big deal. That is a huge. Will Brent Seabrook's jersey hang from the rafters at the United Center? I mean, Brent Seabrook, he's not a Hall of Famer, right? But Brent Seabrook is an all-time great Hawk in what he meant to that franchise on those cup runs. You can't just move back to sequels of Tommy Boy with a dead Chris Farley.
Whoa. I mean, I can't imagine how they could have room to get it up there, because we're going to have Noah, Norm Van Leer, Derek Rose's
separate jersey. Rafter, separate rafter. The Bulls have their own rafter.
No, people want to retire so many jerseys in this city that there's going to be no room for his.
So you're saying his won't hang up there with Duncan Keith's, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Haines, Marian Hossa, and Coach Q. They're not going to put those up there.
How many are we going to retire, Danny?
That's it, and they continue on. They continue on for quite some time.
So, like, you heard him. Cap, and again, I'm not bringing this up to rip Cap. Yeah. His first reaction, first blush reaction when this player who's won three cups, when this player who has been a part of the foundation of the Blackhawks, like, he played in the darkest days of the Hawks and came here in the mid-2000s when they still were looked at as one of the worst-run teams ever, was a part of the turnaround, scored some of the biggest goals in Blackhawks history, and a guy who hosts a show and who's had season tickets wanted to discuss movies. And to me, Seabrook has always been one of those more underrated guys. And I just feel that this is a guy who deserves his due. This is a guy who absolutely should have number 7 retired. He has played more games in Chicago than Chelly. I am cool with them splitting it. They can do what they did on the north side with Greg Maddux and Fergie Jenkins.
Put it up there. It says Chelly Brook on the back.
Chelly Brook is great. See Chelly, you can put as well. Whatever you want.
Chelly Brook.
Yeah, I'm good with that. But that's my point. Like, I was very surprised by that reaction.
Well,
weren't you?
I'm not surprised at the lack of surprise, because he hasn't played since December of 2019. So the response to the official announcement that Seabrook is going to retire, that's not a surprise, right? I mean, he's battled so many injuries and hasn't been on the ice in over a year.
But if Rizzo retired after missing time, do you think Cap would have wanted to go back to movies?
Yeah, that the part of the lack of surprise doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm no hockey aficionado as well, but Seabrook's time here in Chicago was without a doubt significant and noteworthy, especially his performance in the postseason.
Yeah,
so, Sylvia, I know we're against the break, but can I give props to someone when we come back?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, my comparison to Rizzo is this, that this guy has meant as much as any of those guys to their winning. When you're a part of that core, the original core group before Toews and Kane even, and he's there with Keith, and nobody's in that building. And then he goes from that to clinching Game 7 against Detroit in 13. We'll hear that. Like, that Rizzo was one of the first guys to come when it was ugly for the Cubs. They brought him over from San Diego. I think Seabrook is everything Rizzo is to the Cubs. I really do.
That's fair.
I do. 312-332-3776. And I play it just as an example. Who are some of the other guys that our fans think about, that you argue with your friends and say, that guy doesn't get enough due? I can't believe that guy never gets enough credit in the city of Chicago. I fight for him. I think he deserves way more props than this player.
I know I know with Carmen Yurko, or at least for Carm, it's Jose Abreu. But that's a conversation another time.
And Devin Hester. 332-3776 to weigh in on all of this. And Black gives props to somebody next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Talking about the Hawks game last night, Seabrook's retirement, where he ranks, and if he deserves number 7 retired. And along with Seabrook, was texting with someone who used to work in the Hawks organization, too, asking him if he agrees with me that Seabrook is one of those guys who's been long underappreciated. I mean, it's because that those teams were so good with core guys who were here for all three Cups. Taves and Kane, it starts there, obviously, right? Corey Crawford won a couple. Hossa is a Hall of Fame player. Patrick Sharp meant so much to the organization. There are so many guys who long get their due. Duncan Keith is a first ballot Hall of Famer and is going to get a ton of props. And it's sort of like until the sixth, seventh, or eighth name where you get to Seabrook and you're like, oh yeah. And here, let me play this, and then, Black, you can pay off what you have to say. Like, does it get any better than this? It's your rival who are about to go to another conference. It's game seven of this series after you trailed 3-1. It's after you thought you had won the game, but the ref said, no, that goal doesn't count. And it's now overtime, and this is what happened in Game 7 against the Wings in 2013.
That one gloved down by Erickson. Builder to him now, and Nyquist, oh my, he's run into by Boland. Right back ahead comes Seabrook with a shot. He scores! Himself into that area, and that's Brent Seabrook. The hit picks up the puck, and Seabrook comes in, takes a quick wrist shot right over the glove of Jimmy Howard. The neutral zone, not a lot of room all night long. Seabrook finds it. Quick little wrister, skate left, shoot right. And the reaction from the Blackhawk bench.
The great call from Doc and Eddie right there. Goosebump moments.
I want to enter this real quick before Chris says what he's going to say. Like, I look at Seabrook the way I look at Steve McMichael. Those of you who watch the NFL and you watch the Chicago Bears, Steve McMichael, to me, is underrated by people that aren't diehard fans of the Chicago Bears. I think Steve McMichael is a Hall of Fame caliber player, and anyone who has watched him play over this period, everyone recognizes him as a player. He may not get the attention or outside of Chicago and the fan base there, but I think the perspective, I think it's kind of probably the same way with Seabrook, that if you're a Hawks fan and you've gone through that whole three-cup ride and everything, you probably do have a really good appreciation for him, but other people around inside the Black Hawk circle, probably you'd look at him and say, yes, he doesn't. From that perspective, doesn't get his team.
Like, how many guys wore the 76 jersey in the 80s? Like, you would see Singletary, you would see Dent, you would see Hampton, you know, you would see Wilbur Marshall. Yeah. You would see all the McMahon jerseys on offense, obviously, Walter Payton, all those guys. And yes, it's very similar to where Seabrook is, but McMichael put up as many great games as all those guys and yes. Holds a lot of the records in Bears history.
And inside the circle of true Bear fans, I think he is recognized for being the great player that he is. I think it's when you expand outside of that circle is where he becomes underrated. I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to interject that, but you know me with my brain. If I don't spit out what I'm thinking, I'll lose it.
Oh, no problem. And what I have something to say, and I don't know if it's super important or just like, or if Sylvie's really going to get upset about it. But
Listen,
I think someone deserves props today. And I take a lot of heat for being a hater, for having a certain someone program my show from 6 to 8 p.m. with Abdallah. But I think today we do need to give props to Cap. He is right on the money with his take on Seabrook. And Sylvie, I'm not saying this just to go opposite, but like, what are we doing here? We could easily put 5 players from those championship teams
in the rafters
up in the rafters and a coach, right? So that's 6. We need a 7th. I see Brooke great, underappreciated, totally agree. And I have some names for you guys.
So you're
on the
saying he is not
list.
Retired jersey worthy?
Yeah, like, what are we like?
The
first thing out of Zetterman's mouth was a jersey up in the rafters.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing?
No.
What are we doing in this city? That's because we're turning into the Miami Heat. Let's give Dan Marino a jersey. Let's give Jordan a jersey. Let's
you're grading on a there. Curve again. You're
no,
grading
no,
on
no curve.
Just the opposite see, way. See, yes, you are. You're grading on a curve. Listen to me. Because of the other guys getting their jersey, you're like too many. You just... They're either jersey retirement worthy or they're not. Do you know what it was like in those dark days in the mid-2000s be a part of the core group? You know, to win that game against Detroit. Game 4, Boston. Stanley Cup final.
Totally agree.
Seabrook.
Big moment.
Game-winning goal.
Yes,
hit,
we just
him
heard
and
it.
Keith
that's
on
what
the blue
we have the
line.
Internet for. The internet will tell us about those moments. They will live on.
Now listen. I know the reason why you retire jerseys is because they're supposed to be retired. But J.J. Watt is showing us now that you can retire a jersey, and it's more like a Ring of Honor thing for me, that you need to retire names more than numbers. Put the names in the rafters. Put those names in because we're going to run out of numbers. It's just like Russell Wilson. Who was number 3? Was it Bronco Nagurski? Like, if we get Russell Wilson, we're unretiring number 3, are we not?
I don't think so.
What do you mean, why not?
No.
I don't think
Russell
they will.
Russell will take a new number.
I don't think that they will unretire Bronco Nagurski's number. No. I may be wrong, but I don't think so.
Why not? I mean, like, now we can't honor any more Bears because there are no more numbers either, right? Urlacher can't get his number retired. Because we've already retired too many numbers? Like, this is now we're getting to a point where we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We can't retire a number because we don't have enough numbers left. Or we can't retire a number on a player because there are too many good players on those teams. Brent Seabrook is a guy who gave his blood, sweat, and tears for 15 years.
So did the entire
built this
team.
Thing Well, not the entire team.
But hold on. Aren't they represented in those championship banners that are up in the rafters already?
Sure. It's a team honor.
I can't picture in my head just this second, but the Hawks didn't do what the Bulls did with the three-peat banners where they have all the names around the outside, do they? I don't think they do. Right.
I don't think there's enough space.
I don't think so either, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, to me, like, I understand your fight for it, Sylvie, because he is underappreciated, and he was a fantastic player for a long time in the franchise. But part of me is, like, that's why those championship banners are up there, is so then when you look up, you see, oh, yeah, we have the Hall of Famers, Kane, Taves, Keith, Hossa. And Crawford and then Quinville, and then you're like, yeah, but those championship banners, hey Sylvie, remember how great Brent Seabrook was? Like I don't know. I feel like it's just great. Like we have to give a jersey retirement
to everyone. Yeah, he is well, not to everyone. For a guy who's played 15 years and won 3 Stanley Cups, how many of those guys are there?
Wouldn't you say out of those 15 years, like the back half of it, he was the albatross. On the team, on the franchise, no?
Not the back
down.
Half. After 15,
well, listen,
probably.
When you talk about getting the amount of respect or notoriety, he got it from Stan, right? I mean, because Stan gave him a contract that really, and that's not Seabrook's fault.
No.
He got it. He got the contract based on past performance.
Correct. And
I'm not going to argue that.
It actually, and this is a different discussion, but it actually handcuffed the team going forward, didn't it? And it's
sure.
not a Seabrook problem.
No.
Like you gave, not only did you give him a ton of money, but didn't they also give him a no movement clause in his contract, or
yes.
what do they call them? No trade clause or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
No movement. I think is the way they call it in hockey. Same thing.
So what we're arguing right now is about: could we settle on a Ring of Honor placement, or does it necessarily have to be a jersey? And can you put Seabrook up there without also recognizing Chelly as the number 7 as well?
See, so I have always argued this. I was just talking to someone on Twitch. Like, Maddox and Fergie have it, right? Who was the more accomplished player in a Cubs uniform?
Fergie
or Maddox?
Fergie.
Yes. Maddox turned out to be one of the greatest pitchers ever, but not with the Cubs. Chelly was awesome with the Hawks and played a lot of years for the Hawks, but he played more years with Detroit. He came from Montreal. And I could argue that from the 15-year period and the successes that Brent Seabrook had, were more accomplished than what Chelly did. I could be wrong too, but I've argued that. I've always thought that this is not a participation thing. That guys like Seabrook and Keith and Hossa and Kane and Taves and Q all deserve it. Rodman, 3 years, deserves his number retired. They don't win championships 4, 5, and 6 without Dennis Rodman's rebounding and defense.
What's the Norris Trophy given for? Best defensive player in the league? Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
He won it twice in a Blackhawk uniform. Chelly did. It's not Chelly's fault that he didn't have as much talent around him as an entire team as Seabrook did.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm not talking down Chelly.
Let's go Chellybrook then.
Oh, I'm good with the co-retirement. I'm signing off on that. Absolutely. And I have a poll question. You want to weigh in? 332-3776. All right, so. This is as hot as we've ever gotten over like an in the weeds hockey argument. I love it.
I can trust you. You can take
it. I love it.
I'm like 96. I'm 96.7 right now. I'm not even close to a fever.
I wanted to give props to Cap. That's all I wanted to do.
That's awesome. No, you're riding with Cap. I'm riding against both of you guys.
You're patronizing Cap.
No, I'm not.
He's not. You know Black. Black is going oppo here.
No, 3-3-2. No, I heard Cap.
I'm not saying you're going oppo four to go oppo.
I was proud that Cap didn't just conform to the rest of them, just wanting to hang up every jersey. Where's what else are we hanging up there? Is Sod get a jersey? What else we get? Who else won a cup?
Sharpie.
Get a cup.
Sharpie's very important to the Blackhawks. Yeah, hang it up.
Sharpie, get up there. Who else?
332-3776. We can play.
To the ice, swearing number 114. It's Phil Schneider.
Does Buffling get jersey?
My guy Phil Schneider got a call out.
I don't know. I was making up a
jeweler
name.
Jeweler Phil?
Oh, is that Phil's last name?
That's Phil Schneider.
All
yeah.
I know Phil is Phil the jeweler. I didn't know his last name. I thought his last name was Phil the Schneider. Jeweler. I thought it was the jeweler.
The first home game for the Blackhawks when fans are allowed back in the UC. We're handing out jerseys and we're hanging all of the jerseys up in the rafters.
Let's hang them all. Do you agree with Black or me? Is Seabrook sponge worthy? 332-3776. And who's on? We're creating a list. So far, I got Seabrook and Steve McMichael on the all underrated Chicago sports team. Take your calls next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, a lot of people want to talk Blackhawks here from last night.
I'm blind here, Maverick. I'm in a deep conversation about hockey and I can't see.
I love it.
Give me a strong point. I don't know. I'm going to ride with Chelly because he's cool.
Oh, yeah. Short and class.
He's been to like 1,000 All-Star games. Like, if you're going to hang a jersey, and I get what you're saying, but if you hang a 7 up there, and again, I'm out over my skates right now, but I'm going to put Chelly's name on it, at least with Seabrook's on it.
Yes,
you can't
I'm
put
good.
7 up there without recognizing Chelly.
Why can't you put both? You put both?
Dude, I'm the one that I have coined the phrase Chellybrook.
Yeah.
That's where I'm. You know what? I'm going to Chellybrook. I'm going to have dinner and drinks tonight at Chellybrook. It's a new restaurant down here.
No, it's like a whole country club.
Right.
I'm going to Chellybrook. I'm going to play 18.
Yeah.
And then they got a really nice restaurant attached.
Yes.
We're going to play some cards afterwards.
Great red wine. The homemade chili is delicious. There's hockey. There's Stanley Cup like highlights that play on a loop in the bar.
There's some really good chili there, too, because Chelly's chili.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Did you get hit in the head with a puck while we were gone?
I did.
Did you?
Yes, absolutely.
Chelly
and Chelly can party.
Welcome to Chellybrook, everybody.
All right, so I said, what should the Blackhawks do with number 7? You could vote on my Twitter page. Retire for Chelios, retire for Seabrook, retire for both, keep it available. We've had 1,200 votes. 59% going with Chellybrook, 22.9% saying keep it available, 12.1% saying retire it for Seabrook, 6.2% only for Chelios. Let's take some calls. People chomping at the bit here, wanting to get after it regarding underrated players and the Seabrook conversation. Aaron and Tinley, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, fellas? Man, first let me say I love the conversation, and this is the kind of in-the-weeds conversation that should be had on ESPN Radio, not about freaking movie sequels or whatever
shot.
They
There's
talk
another
about.
There's another shot. Like, there's shots flying everywhere today. It's Friday. Okay. Come on, let's all hug.
All right. I'm
welcome,
fired up.
Aaron, by the way, welcome to Chelybrook. I will be your maitre d'. If you need anything, you just give me the high sign.
Waddle, they should have chili at Chelybrook.
That's a great idea, Sylvie. I'm glad you thought of it.
So here's the thing, guys. I think part of the tension here is surrounding just circumstance. It has nothing to do with the players themselves, because I think among Blackhawks fans, especially longtime Blackhawks fans, there's like this deep love for Chris Chelios that I think probably supersedes Seabrook in some ways, just because we lost him in his prime and there was this, he was the one that got away. But then with Seabrook, we also had that flip side of we kind of watched him decay over the last few years, and right. Not his fault, not anybody's fault, you know, he had this bloated contract and wasn't playing up to that level anymore. And so I think there's probably something to be said for Cap's reaction, but not from the standpoint that he wasn't that level of a contributor to a championship team.
Let me interject this. I'm going to assume that Cap's reaction was his reaction because it didn't come as a surprise because of the reasons you mentioned, Aaron, and because he hadn't been on the ice playing in a game since December of, right. of 2019. So I guess, you know, I don't want to be the only one out here on Cap Island, but I will. And I'll just say, I think that would be my expectation was, is it was met with a lack of surprise because I think this was expected by most, wasn't it?
Do you remember a player? Thanks, Aaron. The player who got the exact opposite reaction of the Seabrook reaction. We did this show at Wrigley that day. I don't know if you remember the day that Kerry Wood decided to hang it up in the middle of the season. Very similar circumstances. Remember that was going to be his last game and everything. And it's like, oh my God, Kerry Wood's retiring. Like Kerry Wood. I love Kid K. I love him as a guy. He means a lot to me as a Cub. If you're looking for the opposite argument of the Seabrooks of the world, Kerry Wood is probably that. He is beloved maybe for less than most athletes in this city. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I don't remember that day, but I do know what you're saying. But like,
we stopped talking about Kerry Wood for a half hour, and our bosses got mad at us.
Oh, really?
We didn't do four hours on Kerry Wood that day.
Wait a second. Were we at? We were Harry Carey's down in the water tower, or no? Where?
No,
were we?
We were at. I want to say Sports Corner. We were doing the
Did
show.
Did Delavitt throw something at us?
He was really mad at me. How are you talking about?
And he's,
talking
a white,
about
and he's a white.
Like, Adam, we talked about Kerry Wood for 3.5 hours. Boy, if someone's just getting in their car right now, he's Kerry Wood. Like Kerry Wood, this Shots guy Seabrook. No, I love Adam. Seabrook won 3 cups. Seabrook built it from the ground up. Seabrook scored basically the equivalent to a walk-off home run in a World Series game.
I think your next call should be to Cap, wherever he is in Connecticut right now, to hash this out before he gets out to call a game.
This isn't an anti-Cap thing at all.
And Waddle may be the only one left on Cap Island because a couple guys have tweeted me that Cap changed his opinion.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah, the next segment.
Like 20 minutes later.
They said what?
So can I take my props back? Can I take it back? Is that
I was just supporting his response to it. Seemed like it was like, here we get this big sounder, which I love, but it makes you pee yourself a little bit. Like Kaner fluffy passes.
Right. And You're ready for Watson news or Wilson.
Yes, in the breaking news sounder, thinking that maybe we did do the unthinkable and get a quarterback. That's pee worthy, okay?
Yeah,
like, no. I think when you, my interpretation of Cap's response was, yeah, this was kind of expected. It wasn't a matter if, it was just a matter of when, and this is probably a little overdue.
Like I said, if Rizzo was hurt in the middle of a year, you would honor Rizzo the moment he announces his retirement,
honor
even if
him.
He's not playing, because he was a part of it from the start. Mark and Logan Square, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marky?
I think there's certain numbers you leave alone, like 34 for the Cubs, and you leave them for the next guy who you think could potentially be an ace. In the same way for the number 7 for the Hawks. I mean, your next stud defenseman. I don't think you should retire the number. I think you should honor it by keeping it available for guys that might want it, and they are up to par. I don't know if it's going to be the draft position or how they get brought up, but I think you got to leave them alone. I don't want to see a laundry line hanging up from the UC. But congrats to Seabrook. Thanks, guys.
This is the equivalent to the contract talk, right? Oh, my gosh, you can't pay that guy this amount of money, you know, when there's no cap. I'm not talking about when it comes in with strategy with cap. You can't pay him that much money. And we're like, well, it's not your money. All this talk about too much laundry. Who cares? Like, how is that taking away from anyone's experience?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, if I go to the United Center and I don't see a jersey hanging from up there, it doesn't affect the way that I'm enjoying myself. I'm gonna go get myself another drink.
They could go 25 years after this era and not retire another jersey because there may not be anybody worthy. But in this era, there are 6 or 7 guys who are worthy.
This is at least can we all agree, just the concept that we're all participating in right now. Take out the specifics. This is quality meatball sports talk radio arguing material.
Pass me the spaghetti for my meatballs.
Your name isn't up there. You are not going up in the rafters. And what I took from what I heard from Danny wants everyone up there, right?
Well, and I'm with Danny.
Okay.
They all deserve it.
Okay.
They have achieved something that only the Bulls have achieved in this town. Having an era of championships. We don't even get back-to-back postseason years for the Bears.
How many Bulls jerseys are retired from the 90s?
There should be more. I've always said that. Like I said about Rodman. You know,
Jordan and Pippen, and that's it?
Phil Jackson and Jerry Krause. Yeah. You know, again, like they're names. They're not jerseys.
Where's that's BJ's? BJ get?
No, BJ
jersey?
Doesn't get it.
Are we talking about Will the Blue Jackets?
Hodges, Will doesn't get it.
No.
Brent Seabrook, way better than Will Perdue.
That's true.
Tony Kukoc?
Tony Kukoc, not jersey retirement worthy. I love Tony, though.
Sure? He was a big part of those.
Number 7, I love Tony. Didn't play 15 years for
Luke Longley.
Rodman, 91, get it up there.
Can you explain to me why Chelios' jersey isn't up there? Is it because I know he had more success ultimately in Detroit, right? But when
it's the way he
okay,
left.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
I will never play for Detroit. Oh, by the way, I love being a wing. That's, you know, that's it. It's people had ill feelings about it. 332-3776. More of your calls next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
A lot of mentions for Horace Grant for underappreciated Chicago sports figures.
We put him in the rafters.
Not a jersey retirement topic.
Okay.
Underrated guys. You were an underrated guy.
I think the best example of all of this is the one I made earlier. And I can argue that I'm as big a fan of Steve McMichael as anybody. I think there are a lot of people that feel like I do, that he was one of the Bear greats for a couple of, like a decade and a half or however long Steve played. He's an all-time great to me. I think outside the Bears' circle of trust and fandom, I don't believe he gets the respect that he deserves. But I think anyone who loves this sport and this team knows how damn good he was.
Do you know another guy who was underappreciated when he played but now has gotten the proper appreciation in retrospect during retirement on the Bears?
Peanut Tillman.
Yes. I feel like during the career a lot, people would beat him up, whether he blew a coverage or something like that. And the longer time has gone, and you realize how he trademarked his own thing, he created a move to create turnovers.
I think he was pretty universally loved.
I don't think during his career he was. No, I mean, I think he was liked. I don't think he was in the category of Briggs and Urlacher.
Tillman is the only jersey I own.
Yeah. Peanut Tillman.
Outside again, like that could be a conversation for outside the fan base, but inside the fan base, I think he was universally
shut down Randy Moss every time the Bears played the Vikings.
You were an appreciator. I'm telling you, we used to get calls that people would,
well, hang
would
up
not
on
be.
Those people.
We did. We had him as our weekly. He was our weekly guy.
We don't hang up on people. We don't hang on.
No,
I'm
just saying.
Be better than that, Chris.
You come in here with a trash Peanut Tillman take. I mean, move along, sir.
No, I'm saying he was underappreciated.
Okay?
Yeah, I am. Get out of my house. See Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you got, Fred?
Oh, guys, I love this topic. What a great topic. And I have the Bulls equivalent to Seabrook. I love Seabrook. This player even has the same number. Before this player was drafted, the Bulls had six losing seasons in a row, zero playoff appearances. The year he was drafted, he became the only rookie in NBA history to win the sixth man of the year. Bulls made the playoffs the next four or five seasons. I'm talking about good old number seven, Ben Gordon. What say you?
I think Sylvie loved him.
Yeah, I overloved him. You know,
while
it was actually going on, I placed him higher than I should. I loved him. Fred, you're not getting an argument from me. The guy could shoot it. He had an elite skill.
He is not invited to Chelleybrook, okay? I mean, like, I appreciate Ben Gordon, but he is not invited to Chelleybrook.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, what if I told you that in the history of the Bulls organization, there's only seven players to average 20 or more points for a team that was 500 or better?
Yeah, but
Bob Love.
Okay, but you're using a team and an organization that for a very long period of time wasn't one of the upper echelon teams. So the bar is set lower.
And remember, Fred, let your guy Pax, when they were ready to win, decided to move away from him and during the Tibbs years. So
I'm just telling you that they
made the choice that he wasn't as good as a lot of people thought.
One final note on Ben Gordon. He was ahead of his time. In this best year, which is 06 or 07, the number one team in three-point attempts had it at 24 a game. This year, it's 42 attempts a game. So, like, if he would have played, and he never had a season where he shot below 40% for the Bulls. The guy was elite. What do you think of my idea for
he
a
He was
band?
Not elite. Come on.
He was fantastic.
Come on. You know, this, right. Come on, now we got to hang up on Fred. You always overstay your welcome, Fred.
We love you.
Can I give you an idea for a banner? Can you just stick with me on this? One banner, four names in each corner. Chelio, Seabrook,
Fred.
Kukoc, Ben Gordon. And in the middle, my prophecy of the seven. Seven pick and 17.
Hang
seven.
Up on him, Black. Hang up on him.
No, we don't hang up on people. We don't hang up on him. That's not what we do.
I know. That's not. It's ridiculous.
We wish him a fun and safe weekend. We don't hang up.
Underrated players, though. I don't think Ben Gordon fits that mix, but Andres Nocioni does.
I overloved Noach, too.
Chris Nocioni was awesome.
I had it. What was the cartoon character that he went by? There was a cartoon.
Tasmanian Devil?
No, it was like a foreign cartoon character that he his nickname
Pepe
was.
Pepe Le Pew?
John
And I bought. Bellerman? I bought. Pepe Le Pew, you know, he was in. That's good. That was a good response.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Carmen will remember. Can we take Brian on the south side?
Carmen loved him some Noach as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I overloved that team. Carmen was constantly fighting with me.
Yeah, telling you.
Oh, telling me they're not that good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you can't break up this core. You can't break up Noach and Ben Gordon.
Oh, boy.
Look, I admit it. Brian on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian, back me up on this.
Waddle, Sylvie, happy Friday, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Thank you.
So I grew up, that Bears team, the Urlacher team, was like my first football team that I watched that I can remember pretty much when Urlacher was drafted, watching him fly around.
Brian, Urlacher.
Yeah.
Urlacher, that Urlacher team.
Yeah, okay. Urlacher. Yeah,
well, you got to do that to Wilbon then. If you're
going
to do that,
if
you're going to do that to Brian on the south side, you got to do that to Urlacher.
Well,
when
Brian on
Wilbon
the south side is co-hosting a show with Tony, then I will.
Hey, I'm looking for a summer gig, so just give me a call, guys. You got my number.
Right. Okay, good, Brian.
So no, but Peanut Tillman, I wholeheartedly agree with Waddle. I was probably one of his biggest critics growing up. And now that he's gone, as much as Kyle Fuller, yeah, he's been decent, but Waddle's made this point before. He's been notoriously overpaid his whole career. They don't avoid him on the field. I miss me some Peanut Tillman, and I did not appreciate him at all when he played for the Bears. He probably shut down Randy Moss a bunch when he played for the Vikings, but go back and watch any time that we played the Patriots in the years that Randy Moss and Brady were together. Randy Moss ate peanut lunch every single time they shared the field together. But I agree with you, Sylvie. Underappreciated guy. Appreciate you guys taking my call. Have a great weekend.
There were many guys like that, Black, back in the day. Whether they were, I'm not saying they were right. I'm just telling you, there was a large group of Bears fans who used to beat up on Peanut. I think people understand now.
I thought people loved him.
3323776. We're back in 2 minutes. Luke Stuckmeyer, by the way, has solved my cartoon question. I'll tell you who that is. He tweeted right away. Luke Stuckmeyer, thumbs up to him. And then we'll talk to one of his former peers, Chuck Garfine, who is all over the White Sox, and more of your phone calls.